I've got a confession to make in that I have stolen my sermon this morning from somebody else, the Apostle Paul. I want to reflect on a little message that he gave at a place called Pisidian Antioch. And it's recorded in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13. And Paul on that particular day goes to the synagogue, and the rulers of the synagogue in Acts chapter 13, they ask Paul and those that are with him, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." And so Paul gets up and he starts to kind of share the gospel. He goes back into Jewish history and he goes into Egypt and the exile and the wilderness years and Canaan, and then he talks through the times of the prophets and the kings and King David, and then he gets to Jesus and starts to talk about him. We these last few weeks in our staff meetings, as we've prepared for David to step off the staff team and mark this kind of transition, we've been listening to David as he's shared some thoughts with us, some favorite moments, or we've reflected on those together. And one of the questions we asked him was, what was one of the favorite sermons that you've ever preached, or what sermons stand out in your memory? And he said, well, one of Gene's favorite messages was, and David served the purpose of God in his generation, and then he died. I'm going to preach on the first bit of that line today. I think we'll leave the second bit, maybe until another day. In this sermon, what Paul says, he's talking ultimately about Jesus, but he says that line in verse 36 is what I want to just think about today for a few moments. David served the purpose of God in his generation. And I want to reflect on David, our David, Pastor David, and how he has done that. But I want to broaden that out for every one of us, of course. So I'm going to break it down. And first of all, I want to start with David. David served the purpose of God in his generation. David was David. David was unique, the King David. He wasn't Saul. When they were looking for a new king, and when Samuel was looking for a new king, he went and he lined up all David's brothers, and he was looking for stature, and he was looking for physical height. And he was looking for a certain kind of leader, but David wasn't Saul. And actually, when the younger David came to fight Goliath, and Saul tried to put his armor on him, if you know that story, David was like, I can't fight in your armor because I'm not you, Saul. And I need to be free. I need my sling and I need my normal clothing. I need to be me because I'm David. I'm not Saul. And David wasn't Samuel either. He wasn't the prophet Samuel, and he wasn't supposed to fulfill the role of Samuel. David was David, and David had a calling that only David could fulfill. We have to be ourselves. And I think what we've appreciated about David over these years, these 30 years that he has served our church here, we're celebrating our centenary year this year as Plymouth Christian Center. And David's been here pretty much a third of that time, which is quite astounding. But 30 years, what we've, I think, appreciated so much about David is we've appreciated his humor, haven't we? His funny stories, which I have heard 100 times. I can finish his jokes for him. And somebody said to me at the door once, "You need to be funnier like David." But David is David, and anybody trying to imitate him would fail badly. We love his humor. We love, as I wrote in the Herald recently, we love his honesty, and we love his humility. And we all have to be ourselves. But there's an element as well whereby we should learn, I think, from one another. I think we can look at other people and we can learn from them. There was an advertising campaign, I don't know if you remember it. It was for a sporting company, and the tagline of this advertising campaign was, innovate, don't imitate. Innovate, don't imitate. As a tagline, quite clever. Don't just copy other people, be new, be fresh, innovate, don't imitate. But actually, the Apostle Paul gave exactly the opposite advice. And he said, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so we are not David. I am not David. I cannot tell jokes like David. I cannot play the double bass as badly as David can. I do not carry a trilby like he does with such sartorial elegance. We're not David, but there's something about him that we can imitate in some ways. And in the early days, this is what I was taught to do. I came to this church 25 years ago, and I was David's junior, David's assistant. I was brought on as youth pastor, small group coordinator, general dog's body, assistant pastor. And I remember David not quite knowing what to do with me in the early days. And there were no offices, there was no staff team, there was David and a secretary. And so I sat by the photocopier, and and David said, we'll go out visiting some people. So he was showing me the ropes. And so he dragged me out. I think it was in his Volvo at the time of an evening. And there's two particular visits that it reminded me of those James Herriot moments where he's supposed to learn from Siegfried Farnon, the old vet. And this was me. I was the junior. I was supposed to learn from the old vet. And he was going to show me how to do pastoral visits. So out we went, and two particular visits stick in my memory. One was, we went and knocked on this lady's door. We hadn't announced that we were coming. And I looked through the window, and she had her feet upon the table. She had her slippers on. She had her pajamas on. She had a bottle of wine out. She had a glass of wine. She had her Radio Times open. She was watching the TV. And then Dave and I knock on the door to visit her. And I could see in her face the crestfallen look. Not only was she getting visited by one pastor, she was getting visited by two pastors. And her TV evening was ruined and interrupted. So I never forgot that disappointed look in her eyes when she opened the door. Oh, Pastor David, lovely. And you, come in. That was the first visit. He thought, great, this is my future. The second visit that sticks in my memory was David, again, showing me the ropes, took me to visit a man in the north of Plymouth. I can't quite remember where. And I just remember visiting this man. And I don't know if David volunteered it or he volunteered it, but it was decided that he would play the banjo for us. So David and I sit in this man's living room, and he begins to play the banjo for us rather poorly. And so we sat and we listened to the banjo playing, and I think there was a cup of tea offered. And in the end, David, teaching me the ropes, said, we'll have a word of prayer, shall we? We'll have a word of prayer before we go. So we all stood with the man with the banjo, and David said, you pray, Jeff, you pray. So I started to pray with him, and at which point Dave's mobile phone goes off. So he memos to me, carry on. So then he wanders off into the kitchen as he's teaching me the ropes of how to be a great pastor. And I'm praying for Banjo Man in the living room. I hear Dave speaking loudly in the kitchen. He's obviously still disturbing us. So he decides he'll go out the back door, at which point he sets off the house alarm. So I'm there with Banjo Man, the alarm's going off, Dave's speaking loudly into his mobile phone, and I am learning how to be a pastor. And ever since then, every staff meeting, without fail, every Monday, we have our staff meeting at the same time. And every week, Dave's phone goes off. And everybody says, it's Jean. She's not worked out in 30 years that we have a staff meeting at 12:30 on a Monday. So now you can talk to him at your heart's content on a Monday. David is inimitable. You cannot imitate him. You wouldn't want to. He is a one-off. But he is David, and we have greatly valued him. David had a difficult start here at Plymouth Christian Center. He came here on his birthday to be interviewed. He told me it was pouring with rain. And he said to Jean, we are not coming here. And the early days were not very easy. The church was in decline. There was quite a lot of conflict. And David came from a successful church. He may have mentioned it in one or two sermons in Beeston, in Nottingham, which I was a part of as a student. And so these were tough years and challenging. And David has told us of those early years and how he asked God for an honorable way out and to leave Plymouth again and to find somewhere else. And not that very long thereafter, he was offered a plum job as a promotion, the regional leader, the next level up. Not only that, but in the Northwest, in his own home region where he came from. So God answered his prayer. God, give me an honorable way out of this place. And David said, and he's told me and he's told you, that he felt God speak to him from the book of Philippians. It is desirable for me to depart, but it is better for you that I stay. And because of the turmoil in the church and the changeover of staff and the number of pastors that had been and gone, David felt that it was better to stay and serve God here. And prior to telling the Corinthians to imitate him, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, "For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." And this has always been David and Jean's approach. They have no airs and graces. David is uncomfortable with the attention that he's had these past days. But they've always been willing to serve. Nothing has been too much trouble. Desiring to serve the good of many so that they may be saved. So that they may be saved. And that's always been their driving motivation. And if we are to imitate anything, I think we should imitate that. David's always been someone to personally witness and share his faith. And there are people here today that he has led to faith in Christ. He never stops inviting his golfing buddies to church events and to Christmas and to Easter and to concerts and trying to introduce them to Jesus. And many are in the kingdom of God because of David and Jean. They have served us. They have served us well. And they have served the purpose of God. But David served, it says in different versions of the Bible, he served the purpose of God, or he served his own generation in loving God and loving our neighbor. Time is short, isn't it? Time is short. They say that we only have the dash between the years, the dash between when we're born and when we die, and time is short. And we've been reflecting on that these last weeks. I have known David since I was 18 years old when I was a student and I went to Nottingham University and I rang David up from a phone box and I said, I'm new in town and I've been told that you're the pastor of a church nearby, and he said, come along. I've worked with him for 25 years and David and Jean have served their generation. I don't know if you saw that film that was out recently, One Life. One Life. It's about a man called Sir Nicholas Winton. And if you saw the film or you remember the story that was in the press, it's basically the story of a man who decided he couldn't sit by and during the Second World War and see what was unfolding with Jewish children and families in the Czech Republic. And he thought he must do something. And he started by hook or by crook to bring these Jewish children over, to transport them over, to put them into families and who would look after them during the war. And He saved many, many, many children's lives, hundreds of children's lives, just by his own pure effort. And there was an episode of That's Life with Esther Ranson, where he was in the audience, Sir Nicholas Winton, and she started to tell this story of him saving many lives and affecting many lives. And then she said, if you are one of those children who Nicholas saved, would you please stand up? And one by one in the audience of the That's Life show, people stood around him, and she said, turn around, Nicholas. And Nicholas turned around, and pretty much the whole of the audience was full of people whose lives he had affected and whose lives he had changed. And I was wondering this morning if there was anyone here whose life has been affected by David and Jean. I wonder if there's anyone here, and if so, please stand up, who David has dedicated, or whose child David has dedicated. If that's you, please stand up. I wonder if there's anyone here that David has married. If David married you, then please stand up, or married someone in your family. I wonder if there's anyone here who David's held a funeral for, not for you, but for your family. Please stand up. I wonder if there's anyone here who David has led to Christ or preached a sermon that has caused you to come to faith. I wonder if there's anyone here that David has visited you in your home or in hospital. Please stand up. I wonder if there's anyone who David has blessed in some way or other through his preaching. Please stand up. There's a story of It's a Wonderful Life and the story of George Bailey and the difference that he made to a community. So David and Jean, I'd like you to stand up and turn around and just look at the community that you have affected greatly over these years. Let's appreciate them. Thank you. I love that story. It's a Wonderful Life. And the picture that is painted of how our lives would have been different how the city's lives would have been different if George Bailey hadn't been there. And I think for many of us, that's the case with David and Jean. They have served the purpose of God in their generation. Now, back to Paul's sermon in Pisidian Antioch. He said, we tell you the good news, what God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. And God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is also stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed, but the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. See, what Paul does is he points beyond David, and he points to Jesus. Of course, David served the purpose of God in his generation, but he did ultimately die, and he did see decay. And the point that Paul is making is that there is one who died and then rose again, and his body did not see decay. He is alive, and his is not a generational influence. His is from generation to generation to generation. And what Paul says about him is what Isaiah says of him, is that of his rule and reign, there will be no end. There will be no end to the kingdom of God and to the rule of Jesus. And ultimately what Paul does is what David has tried to do throughout his ministry, is point people to Jesus and say, he's the one. And what we have so honored in David and Gene is that it's never really been about them. It's been about Jesus, and it's about pointing people and leading people to Jesus. There is a King of Kings. There is a greater David. There is one that will reign and rule forever. Now, I have found, as I was reflecting recently, that there are a number of leaders and pastors and authors that are no longer with us, and I miss them. I miss their influence. I miss their input. And we will miss Dave. We will miss him in the office. We'll miss his laughter, his whistling, his jokes, his wisdom, his Monday morning chats. There's so much about him being around the team that we will miss. But he will still be around the church. He'll still be preaching. He'll still be involved. He'll still visit people, I'm sure. He won't be able to stop himself. And if you're at home with a glass of wine and a bottle of wine, pull your curtains closed. And don't answer the door. So next weekend, we're going to celebrate Jesus and the one who did not see decay, the one that rose from the dead, the one that is alive, the one that rules and reigns forever and ever and ever. And it's sad sometimes when generations pass. We don't want a passing of generations. We don't want sometimes seasons to come to an end. We like things as they are. But the fact is that we are all passing generations, and we all have our brief race to run, and then we pass the baton on. So we both mark the fact that there is an end today. There is a transition. We also reflect on the fact that David will still be here, and we hope for many years to come, and still involved in our church family as the grandfather of the church. But ultimately, I and David and Paul and every one of us want to point you to Jesus and to say he'll never leave you or forsake you or let you down or decay or move on. He is the one to whom we look. He is the one we worship. He is the one we serve. He is the reason we are here. So I would like to read a poem to finish, and then I'm going to invite David to come and respond and give some of his reflections on this particular passage, and then we'll pray for him. I prayed this prayer over Dave and Gene when they retired last time. So I'm not doing it again. This is it. But it was this sense of honoring leaders. We lay hands on you today because we want to. We want to honor you and say thank you for the gift you are to us. We recognize that it has not always been easy for you, but we want to thank you for staying with us and helping us. To get closer. To get closer to God. We lay hands on you today because we want to say sorry for not appreciating you enough and failing to recognize your worth. Please forgive us for not supporting you properly or recognizing those times when you've needed care, for so easily listening to your critics when we should have celebrated you more. We lay hands on you today because we want to tell you that we are for you, that we want to go forward with you and serve our great King together. We realize that you too have your dreams of where you want God to take us. Some have been broken, but so many have stayed alive. And so we lay hands on you today to say, let the dreams of God come true for all of us. So let's invite Dave back up. Dave, you said that was one of your favorite sermons.
Yeah.
I just butchered it, but tell us some of your thoughts, how it's been serving the purpose of God in your generation.
Yeah. Well, it's been absolutely wonderful to serve the Lord. Really, it has. And this congregation have been absolutely marvelous. And I know Jeff alluded to the fact that in the early days, people were leaving like rats leaving the ship. I think we had 81 people leave us in the first 18 months, moved away with their jobs. But the people who stayed were absolutely wonderful. We couldn't have been treated nicer. We couldn't have been treated better. And it's been a joy to serve Jesus here. And like Jeff has said, we're just signposts, really. We're just signposts saying that's where you ought to be. Somebody has said the gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And we point people, I hope, to the Lord. I once heard a preacher say, Jeff, you cannot help God, but you can hinder him. And I don't want to hinder the work of God through my life. And this is a very inspiring verse of scripture. David served his generation. We're not responsible for that generation that's gone past, but we can do something for now that may affect people in the future. We can point them to Jesus. And I'll not go through my 25-point sermon on this subject. But David was a man who was anointed. And I kind of had a wish I'd been better educated. And I used to say, when I've prayed, Lord, I've got nothing. If you don't show up, I've got nothing. And though I didn't realize it, it is a good place to be when we rely upon the Lord. And David in the Bible here, he was anointed by Samuel, and the anointing of God came upon him. And it's been really wonderful to serve the Lord here in Plymouth and to see people's hearts and lives changed. And we trust that I think the greatest days are still ahead. I think there's going to be a move of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to see a lot of people find Jesus in these days. So I think those are just a few reflections, Jeff, on that. Yeah. There's a great message this morning.
Well, stay with us, Dave. Dean, come and join us. Come on up. And could I ask Paul and Kate and Jenny, the staff team, please come and join me, and the elders as well. If you all come up, come and join us. Stand with us. Behind your backs, we've been asking people if they'd like to give a gift to give a gift over these last few weeks, and so we've been doing that behind your back, and so we've got here happy retirement and 80th birthday, Dave, and messages from people that have given something or that wanted to leave some thoughts for you. So they're in there. And if you've not had the opportunity to do that, there are a pile of these cards in the foyer, and we'd like you to just fill one in and sign it, and we'll put it in this book to give to Dave and Jean. So please do that. If you're watching online, we've only done this gift offering privately via email, but you would like to give something, then you can do that via our website. We're getting up towards the £4,000 mark of money that people have given the church, your church family, just to say thank you. And that's for you to have extra golf lessons, Dave. And he needs them. And maybe a holiday or something. And we've we've got you a little card here as well. And yeah, do you want to stand with us? And
that's very kind of you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So we're gonna pray for Dave and Jean now, and God's ongoing blessing. I've written something in the card, Dave. I can't remember what it was.
It happened to me once.
It's from, I think it's Psalm 92. And it says this. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Yeah. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in him. So, Lord, we thank you for Dave and Jean. And as a team, as a staff team, as an eldership team, as a church team, we thank you for them, and we bless them. We honor them today, Lord. We honor them for their service, for their sacrifice, their selflessness over many, many years, not just the 30 years here, but the 55 years in ministry. And Lord, we thank you for the way that they have touched so many lives here in Plymouth and beyond, to love and to serve people in a way that will enable them to become wholehearted followers of Jesus. We pray that the truth of Psalm 92 will never be truer than it is over this couple, that they will flourish, they will stay fresh and green, and into old age, Lord, that they will continue to be fruitful in everything they do. Thank you for their family, their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids, Lord, and for all of their spiritual children and spiritual grandchildren. And we pray, Lord, that through us you will bless them, and through them you will bless us. And we give you praise for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's hear it for Dave and Jean. So would you like an old hymn to finish with, Dave?
I did hear of a young lady that was taken to church by someone. This young lady had not been to church before, and the friend who took her there, she said, would you like a hymn? She said, yes, I would. She said, which hymn would you like? She said, I would like him and him and him.
Yeah, let's all worship God together with a couple of hymns.